Welcome to the Morning Manna Podcast. I'm Pastor Greg, coming to you from Twin Falls, Idaho. We are going through the book of Psalms, and we just kind of want to spend a few minutes digging into the scripture and kind of getting our hearts and minds saturated with God's word. So I'm so glad that you join me. Psalm 12 is our psalm today, and it is the Psalm of David. And it is a psalm where we find David feeling like he's alone. He's feeling somewhat abandoned, and he's wondering, where are the faithful people? Where are the godly people? And so this is something Christians go through. Christians who are really trying to walk with the Lord and be faithful to the Lord, we can sometimes feel like, am I the only one? And so let's dive in. So the first thing I want you to notice is David's loneliness. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. So can you sense David's emotion there? Like, he's feeling so alone. He's wanting to serve the Lord and be faithful to the Lord. And then he finds himself abandoned by people. He finds himself alone, much like Elijah. You remember Elijah, who said, Lord, I'm the only one. I'm the only one who's serving you and who's like full on for you. And remember what God said to Elijah? Elijah, I've got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. So that feeling is real, but be careful, Christian. There's a bunch more out there who are on fire for the Lord and desiring to walk with Jesus and be faithful to him. But David's feeling that. But secondly, notice in verse 2, everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. So David's, he's troubled by this flattery. I mean, flattery is, it's a strange dynamic, because somebody's telling you something that appears to be positive about you, but there's a weird motive under it. And so it feels yucky. It's actually manipulative. I'm flattering you because I want to say something nice about you in order to get you to do something for me. And so David is going, man, people have a double heart. There's two things going on. There's the flattery coming out of the mouth, but then there's the part of them that's wanting to mess with me and manipulate me. Listen, beware of flattery. Don't buy into it. that could hurt you if you buy into flattery. And when somebody's saying something nice about you and it feels yucky, that's a sign. Beware. Beware. There's a big difference between flattery and somebody who's encouraging you. There's a purity about encouragement. It's coming from a perfect heart, what the Bible calls a perfect heart. There's a divided heart, and there's the perfect heart. The perfect heart, it's not a sinless heart, but it's a heart that is united. There's not duplicity. It's not divided. And, you know, the things I'm saying are actually coming from a place of manipulation and a hidden agenda. And so, as we'll see in a psalm quite a ways down the road here, the psalmist prays, Lord, give me an undivided heart. Well, David goes on, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us. Who is master over us? With our tongues we will prevail. Boy, there's a whole lot of talk about narrative in our day and age. Who controls the narrative? Who has control with their speech? can control what people think and believe and the direction of the nation and, you know, all of this. And so this sentiment, this idea is firmly ingrained, certainly in our political culture right now. You know, we can control. There's nobody master over us. We can control with our words. David's decrying this kind of thing. And he says, may the Lord cut him off. He goes on, verse 5, because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. Our Lord is the champion of the humble. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So, listen, God is always championing the humble and always resisting the proud. He goes on, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You want to talk about a narrative. Listen, God's word is the singular, truly true narrative, pure and true. This is why we love the scripture so much, is it cuts through all of the other man-made narratives, the philosophies of man that aren't based on Christ. And it brings us into a greater connection to actual reality. So reality is real, right? It's the essence of the word. So it's what's true and real. And so our relationship to reality is really what the Bible helps us to do, is to get, if we're disconnected from reality, the scriptures help us to connect with reality. And by the way, reality always wins. Okay, reality isn't going anywhere. The truth is the truth, whether you believe it or not. And how you, your relationship to the truth is going to determine a lot of things about your life. And if you don't want to reconcile with the truth, you're going to have a lot of problems in your life. And so I've often said Christians are people who do the truth. That's really what this is about. It's reconciling ourselves to what is true and what is real. And so David brings that up. The words of the Lord are pure words, purified seven times, perfection. Well, he ends up in verse 7 saying, you, O Lord, will keep them. You'll guard us from this generation forever. God is so good at preserving and keeping his people, saving his people. That's what he does. On every side, the wicked prowl as vileness is exalted among the children of man. As vileness is exalted. Wow. It's so interesting. The way the news plays out, because you see this. You know, we watched just this past week as a young 17-year-old kid found himself in the middle of a riot in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he was there to help, and he brought a gun knowing there would be danger there. And, you know, the wisdom of that can be debated, I suppose. But the attacks come. This story is well known. I don't need to rehearse it with you. But the attacks come. He ends up shooting three people, killing two. And then just last week, the trial came to a head. The verdict was rendered, and they found him not guilty. Acquitted of all five charges that were leveled against him. And many in our country rejoiced, but many were angered. And so who's right? Should we rejoice over the acquittal of a young man who, it appears, was shown to not be guilty of murder, but was truly acting in self-defense? Or should we be angry because, you know, he's white and white people get advantages, you know, the whole racial thing or whatever. So it says in Proverbs, oh, I won't look it up, I'll just quote it to you, that the righteous rejoice when justice is done. And so this is the world we're living in. There's narratives that are being, you know, foisted upon the people, and the heart of God's people rejoices when there is true justice. It's always a cause to rejoice. And vileness, as David said, or violent rather, I have avoided, David says, the ways of the violent. I'm not going to get in and destroy things and try and destroy people. That's wickedness, you see. Well, a lot to consider in our psalm. And so, hey, let the word of God dwell in you richly and saturate your heart and your mind. Have a blessed day.